was not happy when I realized what God was doing, calling me to be a pastor. I did not seek that, didn't want that. Loved to teach, loved to preach, but when it came to thinking, okay, and there's just a lot of reasons for that. Not worth really going into. It's really a lack of faith on my part. But so it is unique. It's, you know, it's for most pastors, it's a calling. It's this is what God has led me to, and I will say it's the greatest privilege I've ever had in my life, really, to be a pastor. So, but it is very unique. It is, Don mentioned the mental, it can be absolutely exhausting. It's a tired that I never knew before. I've seen this on other guys. And later on, I saw it. I remember there was a fellow student at Frontier. I remember him, he had a preaching assignment over the weekend. He was my age. He went and preached, came back. Monday morning, I looked at him in class. I'm like, what in the world's happened to this guy? He just looks like he's been whipped and beaten down. I said, Scott, what? How you doing? Oh, man. He said, terrible. My message, you know, he just went on about how everything went so bad. And I stopped him. I said, listen, the devil's just trying to have his way right now. Don't underestimate what God does through the word. I'll just say this and then I'll move on. It's an exhaustion that I've never known. I grew up on a Christmas tree farm. Hey, you could work till you just about fall over. Go home, go to bed, wake up. I would get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, I'm ready to go. Listen, there's very few Mondays when I get up pastoring, and I thought, I'm ready to go. I remember the first few times I spoke, I thought, what is wrong with me? I'm just whipped. But it's mental, it's spiritual, you're fighting a battle. It's a different type. And only those who have done that can probably fully realize it. So, and then you're very vulnerable to your thoughts. Anything, there's this message you studied for, the message you preached, the message you should have preached, the things you should have said and didn't say. Anyway, those are all things that I tell and I say to guys that are starting out, listen, this is what's going to happen. Just give you a heads up so you know. But that's some of it. And one thing that Don mentioned, and I want to say to you guys, you could do nothing better than to pray for your pastors. Nothing better than that. I'm indebted to those who regularly pray for me. Pastor Wes, it's the same thing. And we regularly pray for pastors. We do. There's pastors that we know, we're associated with, Dan and Cindy, Rick and Deb, others that we know that are laboring. I have a nephew, younger man, down in the Benzonia area, Lower Peninsula. We pray for every Tuesday, every Sunday morning, we pray for them. So pray. Let's ask this fifth question on page 53, and it has to do with prayer. I'm wondering, what did you find? Some key passages in the Bible where intercessory prayer takes place. Someone praying for someone else. What do you have there? I want to take note here. Say that again. Ephesians 1:16. Why don't you read that, Gary? Yeah. And he's Paul's talking about those Ephesians believers, and he's just saying this, I pray. You'll see this all through his epistles, where he gives God thanks for those believers. And by the way, all those believers have issues. None of them are perfect. But that's the heart of the apostle toward the body of Christ. He says, I pray. Thank you. Someone else. Okay, would you read that, Dan? Amen. Amen. Excellent. Yep, Amy. Okay. Yep. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's a beautiful prayer, encouragement to pray. Yeah, Gary. Right. Right. So good. Turn over to Ephesians while we're there. Chapter 6. This one has always jumped out to me. I love this request that Paul makes. Verses 18 through 20. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then he says this, and pray on my behalf, pray for me, pray on my behalf, and this is his request, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Think of that. Here's this man that's gone all over the place, been used of God in so many ways, planted church after church after church, and he is inviting those believers at Ephesus. He just humbles himself and says, pray for me, that I might make the gospel clear as I ought to make it clear, and that I might do so with boldness. And I remember it, this was so striking to me. I was downstate at a church. Pastor there really was a guy that I looked up to, and he would greet many people to foyer, and every one of those people that went through, after he had chatted with them, he would say, pray for us, would you? Would you pray for us? And it just, one after another, after another, after another, I thought, you know, he's got it right. He's really got this right. That's what Paul does here. He says, pray for us. So important, so helpful. Any others? And then I want to take some time on this next chapter. It's really important, what talks about family. Yeah. That's so amazing. His deliverance, how God did that through being moved by the prayers of the saints. How's that saying go? It was an angel that fetched Peter. But prayer moved God or something like that. No, it was an angel that fetched Peter, but it was prayer, it was an angel that fetched Peter, but God's people prayed. That's not the right, there's one back there that really puts it in perspective, but yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Those are powerful. It was angel that fetched Peter, but prayer fetched the angel. That's how it is. All right, I think. I have to look in my notes, right? All right, let's go on to the fifth chapter here. And this fifth chapter, I'll tell you, is so vital in what it's teaching, what it's saying. It's talking about how important the family is to the church. And so some of you have grown up in families that perhaps had a great and high ideal and love for the body of Christ, and that has impacted you. Some of you have not. But needless to say, there's some questions here that I think would be helpful for us. And let's go to just those questions on page 65. In that second question, what is the relationship of our immediate families and the church family? What biblical text makes this connection? What do you have there? Thanks, Dan. So you have, in Ephesians 5, you have a connection between the body of Christ and between Christ himself, and marriage is brought in there too. You have the Christian family. And so there's a connection there that is made. And it's just vital in understanding what the church is all about. I have to tell you, I look at the church, it's like family, and it's like a family. And every family is different. Every family has its challenges. Every family is unique. So there's a resemblance here to a family. We are the family of God. That's what we're called. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I see it in those terms. It's like that. It really is. And so everyone plays a part. Everyone's just like everyone in your family plays a part, are unique, and so forth. So too is the body. We're all unique. We're all part of the one whole family. So any other thoughts on that second question? Thank you, Pat. Yeah. Anyone else want to comment on that second question? Well, I want to go to question 4. We may come back to some of the other questions. Unconditional love. Why is unconditional love such a challenge, especially as it applies to church membership? In this fifth chapter, we were really challenged to fall in love with the body of Christ. That is something that we need to labor at, that we need to work at. You know, when we take those wedding vows, we vow to love and to cherish, right? Till death do us part. And that is God's ideal for marriage. And there's change that occurs in marriage. None of us that married our spouses are the same we were that day we married our spouses, neither are our spouses. So there has to be adjustments and so forth as we go. But in that marriage, if we're doing it right, we are learning and growing and so forth in our love for that person. That has to be the same within the body of Christ. And we must labor unconditionally loving each other. That has to be happening. Why? Or the question we have here, why is unconditional love such a challenge? We could say, especially as it applies to all that are here. Why is it a challenge? Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't come, right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, all of us, if we're honest, there's selfishness in us, pride in us. We want people to, we want them to measure up often to what we think they ought to be. So, you know, if you are going to be a part of the church, the body of Christ, there are some things we really need to think about. And one is this, that I am called to unconditionally love others. That's a call that God has on my life. And it's needed because we are selfish and we need to grow here. So it's just, it's really vital. I will tell you, I had, and when it comes to the church, I think of how I grew up and sometimes didn't appreciate all of it all the time. We were in church Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, every time the doors were open, we were there. Now, especially as a teenager, I thought there were better things to do than that. But my mom and dad really had a deep and abiding, they still do, love for the church, love for Christ and his people. They want to see the church growing and thriving and doing what it's supposed to do. And, you know, that takes something, doesn't it? It takes something. And, boy, I'll tell you, so much of what we, especially when it comes to family, so much of what I hear from them affects me. I think is if you think about this, really as parents, as singles, as individuals, you know, our attitude toward the church really touches others. It really does. So I always encourage people to speak well of the church. You know, look where God's moving and see what God's doing and speak to that. Speak to that. We can grumble all the time. It's really not, if we're critical, think of a parent being really critical all the time toward the church and a child growing up. That's not a good thing. They're listening. They're seeing. They're hearing. So this is really, really important. But it really stretches us, doesn't it, to unconditionally love a brother or sister. Any other thoughts there to that fourth question? What is unconditional? Why is unconditional love such a challenge, especially as it applies to church membership? Any other thoughts to that? Yeah. Yeah, if you're a part of the body of Christ, you're going to have to be forgiving. You're going to have to be gracious, because people will say things and do things that you don't agree with or sometimes are hurtful. You know, it's all there. It's like a family, isn't it? It's like a family. And so that's really important to keep in mind. How about this fifth question? I think it's really important. And there might be, let me just read from, before we go there, I want to just touch on page 62. There are a couple things said there that I think is worth noting. Those first two paragraphs, if someone would read, it's called Falling Deeply in Love with the Bride of Christ. By the way, this is lacking today. This is lacking today in America today. Big time. You know, we could go right back to that first chapter where we have this, mostly we have what kind of a mentality when we come together in this place. Mostly. Christians have what kind of mentality? What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? It's that country club mentality where I come to take it all in. What are you going to do for me today? And we mentioned, you know, there's some things that should be happening that we should expect. The Word of God ought to be proclaimed. clarity and so forth. There's some things like that. But we really need to step back and understand I'm here as a member, a part of the body, to do something, to serve others. So in that, I think, you know, what we want to be doing is just growing in love for the church, for the people that are there. And so someone read that first paragraph on page 62 under falling deeply in love with the bride of Christ. Yeah, that's what our commitment must be. You know, I watched you guys some this morning. I see you gathered with each other, wondering what's going on and how I can pray for you and how you're doing. That's beautiful. There should be nothing like coming to church on Sunday morning for us. There should be nothing like that. I mean, to come together as a family that's loving each other, that should feed our soul. We should be empty without that. I'll never forget this. I sold Christmas trees in Dallas, Texas. I went a month without going to church. A month. 4 Sundays. It was horrible. It was horrible. Why? Because there's a body of believers that I was attached to. So, yeah, my commitment is to love the bride, and don't ever forget that we are the bride of Christ. That brother or sister I may be struggling with, Jesus died for them. He loves them just as much as he loves me. We can't forget that. Next paragraph, some really good stuff here. Someone read that. Out loud. And you underline that because it's just jumps out to you. Unconditional love means I'll continue to fall more deeply in love regardless of the response. That's unconditional love. It's just a love. And I have found, it's really hit me in the last 6 months or so, that I just need to always be proactive, 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 proactive with others. I can't wait for someone to come up and do whatever for me. That's just foolishness. I still remember one time I had a person tell me, I came into Bark River Bible Church, no one said hi to me. I left, no one said hi to me. You know what I wanted to say? You probably know. No, that didn't cross my mind. I wanted to say, who did you say hi to? Who did you reach out? Couldn't in that moment. I wanted to, but you know, that just underscores what's being said here today. When we think about this, we need to, unconditional love is reaching out, and you know, we're all so different. It'll be uncomfortable for us all in some way, probably, maybe not, but probably. And you may say, "Well, I'm not outgoing." Well, there are ways. There are ways that you can reach out to others and to love them. So this, you know, it's with disagreeable people, isn't it, at times that we're called to respond correctly. And when I see that, I have to tell you, when I see someone, there may be an interaction and someone is really not being very gracious or kind, and yet the other person just keeps coming in love and grace, that's a beautiful thing. It really is. And I've said it before, God has people in our lives that we don't easily love in the body, And we are to unconditionally love them. That's the call. That's what Jesus has done with us. That's what he's done with them. Okay, we got to finish up, but how is Christ's death on a cross the example for us as church members relating to one another? How's his example on the cross? He's our example in everything. How is this example? How does this play out in loving and in ministering to others? Go ahead, Gary, then we'll go to Dan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He died for us, and yet we were yet sinners. And he also died for us, think about this, knowing all of our sin forever. He knew what he was getting. Now, we, in loving others, when my wife said, "I do," she didn't know all that she was getting. But the Lord, when he, I don't think there'd be many marriages that took place if we really, you know, but the Lord knew it all, and he loved us. That's unconditional, Dan. Yeah. It always goes back there, doesn't it? If you think about love, if you think about grace, if you think about forgiving others, it always goes back there to what Jesus did. Any other comments, and then we'll be done. Amen. And that says something, doesn't it? You know, you've never met someone Christ didn't die for. Think of that. We're called to love these people. All right, let's pray. Loving Father, we're grateful to be reminded of some amazing truths. Father, we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for those pastors that we know, those that are on the front lines in so many ways, those in leadership. You call us to pray for one another and don't ever stop. And so, Father, bless us in that way. Bless us as a family. We're called to fall in love and fall more in love with the body of Christ. And, Father, we get in the way with that. We really do. We'll have our ideas. We'll have our desires. We'll at times think people ought to measure up to our standards, and that'll keep us from loving others. There are people that hold different positions on just so many different things that can stretch us as well. Father, we're called to love unconditionally. Grow our love for the body, Father, not for Bark River Bible Church, for the people that are here. That's what we ask. My brothers, my sisters, those we'll spend eternity with, those we're doing life with, grow us in our love for them. Bless your people in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.